All right, so welcome to our Nutrigenomics Retreat Part 2. I'm going to do an introduction to the process. So I want you to be empowered to be able to look some of this stuff up. Some of you are really geeky like we are, like I am, and like to know this to an really serious extent. And some of you just like, okay, just tell me what they mean and just give me some action steps and all. But I want you to be able to be empowered to look at stuff. And if there's stuff that we haven't gone over and you're like, why is this, what does this one mean? She didn't go over this one, to look that up. I want to talk a little bit about the report that I did recommend everybody get and why I recommended that particular one. So let's start with a little bit of an overview of, the problem with this thing is, here we go. This is mine, right? Yeah. So the problem with my having so many windows open with all the resources for you is at the top, they're just little dots and I can't tell what each window is easily. So this is a sample report, you know, just between you and me, it's mine, but it's listed as a sample. So don't share it with anybody. and so this is what I wanted to start with. When you're reading your reports, you've got this homozygous, heterozygous, and homozygous positive. You're going to just hear me say red, green, or yellow as it goes through. It's just really much easier to say. Knowing that green is go, yay, you know, it's okay. A yellow is that one of your parents gave you a gene that we wouldn't expect as the optimal in that particular area. There are some exceptions, and I'll let you know if there's some exceptions as we go through yours. But basically, green is go, good. So these things that we're looking at, they're not mutations. You are not mutated. You do not have mutations. You have genetic variations. And I want that to be really clear to you, because a lot of people freak out and they think you're like, I'm a mutant, look at all these red things. No, it's variations. And some of these SNPs, which we don't report, of course, they're called SNPs, single nucleotide polymorphisms. And that has to do with the way that the genetics are put together. And I don't want to go through too much detail on this, but there is a lot of that detail on your nutrigenomics page. But basically, the gene is made up of these little chemical groups called nucleotides. And these nucleotides have names. And we're going to just know them as GTC and A. Okay, G, C, T, and A. And so in a particular gene, if that gene is given the full functioning to support a particular genetic pathway, metabolic pathway in your body, it's going to have two of the same. It's going to either be TT or GG or AA or CC. Right? Depending on that gene, CC might be good for one and TT bad for another. So basically, if you're homozygous negative, green, it means dad and mom both gave you what we expect to have at that particular gene. If you're heterozygous, it means one of your parents, there's no way to know who, has given you the wrong code at that. So it makes that gene function less optimally. Estimates are shown in studies that maybe it's 25 to 30% less optimal than it should be if it was a green. And then the homozygous positive means that both parents gave you this faulty code at that, the wrong code. And that gene, the function that gene codes for might be 75 to 80% depleted. So what happens is, that when we look at this overall, your genes are not your destiny, but your genes kind of tell you what you can get away with, right? Like most of us shouldn't be eating certain things and drinking certain things and being exposed to this world that we live in that's loaded with toxins. But some of us are going to react more negatively because we have less of a capacity to handle it. So in general, we want to make diet and lifestyle choices to override the negativity of that gene. So for example, if there's a gene that detoxifies you from a particular pesticide, right? And you have a homozygous positive, you're red there, and you're never exposed to that pesticide, who cares, right? That gene issue is not going to hurt you. But if you're a farmer and you're out there in the field spraying crops with that pesticide all day long, you're at much, much, much higher risk of cancer because of it. So if a particular gene description tells you that you have a higher risk of cancer as a result of this, it means that you have a higher risk when you're exposed to the things that this gene is used to detoxify or this pathway is used to help you with, right? And so if you have that and you have the exposure, then you're more likely to have cancer, but you can still override it with diet lifestyle. And it depends on at what point you override it. If you've been exposed to something for 20 years and suddenly you learn that this isn't good and you stop it and you support your body nutritionally, there may already be some damage done, right? So the sooner you get this under control, the better. Now, all that said, all the stuff we teach you in ERC in terms of how to eat, how to optimize your diet for you, how to move, how to think, all this stuff, if you do all of it, you're protecting yourself from a lot of the problems that these gene variants may cause for you. But if you're not, then there's going to be a problem. So the genes, you know, maybe 95% is controlled by epigenetics, which is your choices, your diet, your lifestyle, your exposures, your thoughts, etc. And maybe 5% the genes. And some of the genes, there's like, you know, very few of them have been found to have a one-to-one relationship. So if you have a cystic fibrosis gene, it's been found that you're most likely going to have cystic fibrosis. Whereas if you have some of the genes that predispose you to Alzheimer's and you avoid toxic exposures and you keep your blood sugar steady and you meditate, and there's 36 factors that one of the best researchers, Dr. Bredesen, on Alzheimer's found to be associated. So if you can manage those factors, even if you have a lot of reds in your Alzheimer's, doesn't mean you're going to get Alzheimer's. And he's shown that you can actually reverse some of it. Okay, so I want you to always go into looking at your genes as just extra information that can inform your choices. Like I said to Kathy earlier, and she said, yeah, I have dairy occasionally. Don't, right? Given where she is at right now, where she's had some issues, she has some nerve damage, she has some inflammation, and she has those genes, don't have it at all. Not like every now and then, not like ice cream once or twice a month. No, not at all. And that's what I'm going to be. I may be a little harsh with you sometimes as I go through this to say, no, twice a month is too much given your genes, right? So that's what I want you guys to understand. Okay. So this report I asked you to get after many years of using lots of different reports. I like this the best from this standpoint. It's the easiest to go through. It's the best organized from a person's perspective who isn't skilled or studied in biochemistry and genetics and all that. Some of the other reports are very hard to read, and I'll show you a few of them. What I like about this is there's a book, and I'd highly recommend you get it. I know a lot of you have already gotten the book, because as you're going through your gene report and you go, whoa, I want to know more about this CYP1B1, me personally, because I've got a red there. I can go to 31 to 34 in the book and I can read all about it. Now, to make it easier so you don't have to read the whole book, we've given you a chart, which I was looking at earlier. Okay, I am going to move this to the end. I'm not going to talk about that till later. I'll move this to the end. I'm trying to get these in the order. This I'll put at the end too. And then I should be able to, we looked at this yesterday. We watched a movie at some point. We will watch it again today if you guys want to. All right, I'll put this at the end. Okay, so I think now I have the stuff. Yeah. So we created, Lynn and I created these charts, and you will find them on your site. There is a link in this handy dandy document I gave you. And you can go through your ERC site, right? You go through your ERC site, you go to your ERC home dashboard, you click on where it says nutrigenomics, way down at the bottom under programs, you click on nutrigenomics, And then I made it real easy by putting all of the charts on one page called interpretation charts. You click that. And you've got all these charts. Now, if you just want to print out the ones that you have SNPs in, then you can do that. And you can do them each individually. There's three of them for detox. There's three of them for brain. There's one for cancer, a couple for immune system, a bunch for cardiovascular. Then there's a nutrients one. Then there's bones and joints. And then additional charts, because the blood sugar and digestion aren't as detailed in here as I wanted them to be. So I created a separate set, which I've given you access to. And then the complete set. I just recommend you download it. It's 74 pages, yes. If there's ones in there that are important for you, great. At Shine, that Shine that I was talking about earlier, we gave everybody them out on these beautiful papers. Cost us a fortune to do that because they're on pretty shiny big paper and we 74 pages each for 100 people in the room. Yeah, but they paid us to come to the event, so that's fine. So you can go through and you can print the ones that you want to have access to. But they're great summaries of each of those sections. Now, not every single gene is listed. We listed the ones that we thought were most common. At some point when we have time, we may go through and add more to these at some point. So if you go here, the reason I like this is it's a little summary. So the way you can be reading your report is, where did mine go? There, I'm gonna put mine over here at the beginning. Where'd it go? Did I close it? I accidentally close it? All right. So if I go through mine and I go through the main ones here, I can look up and go, whoa, look at this. I've got a lot of problems with my detoxification mechanisms. I can't get away with a lot, right? So I look at some of mine. I say, oh, these guys are related to caffeine metabolism. And I'm going to go through the ones that I see the most often so that if you have these, mark it. I would recommend that you print out your report and then either print it out or if you know how to edit a PDF and like highlight it, is that you highlight the ones that you have. The ones that you have that are yellow, highlight with a yellow highlighter. The ones that you have that are red, highlight with a red orange highlighter. And that way you know, looking at this, what's important for you. And when I look at mine, right, I look at some of this, I've got the 1A1, the 1A2, the 1B1 double. And I look here and I say, what am I exposed to, right? Oh my goodness, this is detoxifying, okay, polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons. So exhaust fumes, right? So for me, it's super important that I don't close the garage, which leaks into my house, you know, let it air for 20 minutes out into the outside before I go inside, that I don't eat things like, you know, charbroiled meat, which I don't do. But the issue with all of these is they metabolize estrogen. And so all of these are saying, I have a higher than average risk of breast cancer and maybe some other kinds of cancer, but mainly the estrogen related. So if you have that and you're drinking coffee, you're diverting the attention of your body from detoxifying toxic estrogens into detoxifying the caffeine, which is optional. Detoxifying toxic estrogens, and this goes for men as well, is not optional because you're constantly creating these things and having to detoxify, but drinking coffee is optional. So that's where the actions you take can take the load off some of these. So if you're somebody who gets headaches occasionally and you take Tylenol, not a good idea to take Tylenol or any of the NSAIDs, right? The non-steroidals. Find other ways to deal with the headaches, find the root cause, you know, take some, you know, turmeric and other things like that. And that sort of thing. So this is the kind of thing that we're going through. And so when we go through yours, we're going to look and see what do you have. If I look at me, I've got a lot of stuff. I've got a lot of problems in my detox pathways. So, you know, living in a toxic environment, using toxic cleaning things, drinking caffeine, taking Tylenol, all things that I've done throughout my life not good. I was fortunate that my health fell apart in my 20s and I turned that around. So I only had 20 some years of having all these abuses, right? And now I'm making much more careful choices. And that's how we're going to go through this. So some of you are going to have a lot in this area. I think I have more than anybody I looked at yesterday. Some of you are going to have things in the glutathione, which I just talked to Kathy about, right? So glutathione, super important. And it's the master hormone. So I take glutathione. I take liposomal glutathione. And it's funny because every time I review these, you know, when I do this kind of thing once a year and I review mine to share, I go, okay, I've been offered that glutathione. Got to get back on my glutathione, right? So it reminds me that it's important that I do it from a genetic standpoint. These are related again to those hydrocarbons, but also various drugs. So I don't do any drugs. So good. I'm not going to worry about this. But if I do, or if I'm ever in a situation where there's an issue, I'm going to want to know that, you know, I can't take certain classes of drugs because of my genetics. NAT2 would be down. It's in the acetylation, right? There's a better chart for some of these that goes into more details if you want. And I put the link in your thing. It's the genetic genie interpretations. And look, it gives you a whole big explanation, more than we could fit on those cool little charts, right? So for me, I eat tons of cruciferous vegetables, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, watercress, cabbage. I eat this all the time. With all this immune system hype right now, you know, with coronavirus being around, I've been making this drink every day and I've been putting in lots of raw garlic and ginger and cayenne and all kinds of stuff just to support my immune system, vitamin C, et cetera. So you can use these charts to give you more information. Is this making sense? Yes? Okay. All right. And then this one, the same thing. So these two charts will just give you more details on it. The book will actually give you a lot of details as well. All right. Some of these are related to drug detoxification. And there's one in particular, I think this is the 2D6. Yeah, 2D6. There's a whole page in Wikipedia that lists all of the drugs that this particular thing is. Okay. So here's all the drugs. So you can check this if you're on any medications or you have an issue and a doctor wants to put you on any medications. Check this list if you have a 2D6 like good old me, I think. 2D6. Yeah, I have one 2D6. It's not a terrible one. Okay? So that's what we're looking at today. That's how we're going to go through this. There are other reports. There are other reports. One is metabolic healing, and all of these are listed on your nutrigenomics page. If you want to get all the reports, get all the reports. But this explains them in sections, similar to the detoxification one. But the explanations are a little, you know, not as, what's the word? Not as end user friendly. There's a lot of technical stuff in here, technical jargon, but it will give you places you can go and learn more. So it is a good test. It's about $30, $35. I mean, you can get a whole range of tests for under $100 of these charts. But what I don't want you to do is get confused, okay? Stratagene's great, especially for practitioners because it shows all the different pathways. Very few genes are reported here, like maybe 36 of them, but it gives you a lot more metabolic detail. And then this one, I kind of recommend you get just to have on hand because it helps you. Of course, you can get all this stuff from going inside of 23andMe, but it's really a challenge to do it that way. This just lists 49 pages of genes. So if you're looking at, say, my chart that talks about, let's see, my detailed genetics ones. A lot of these are on your genetic detoxification report. But a lot of the ones for blood sugar, which I went crazy going into because of my blood sugar issues, and I have a lot of these genes, this gives you a lot more detail. And so if you're going through this and you go, oh, wow, I want to find out if I have this one, you can look it up in 23andMe, or you can look it up on this chart, which is a little bit easier to deal with. This one. Okay. So these are just resources you have. If you just have this genetic detoxification report and you just listen to what I have to say today, you're going to get a lot out of this and you're going to have some action steps that you can take in order to be able to put this into action. The book is helpful because you can read it in more detail. It's about $35 to get the physical book. It's only $10 to get the Kindle version. So you can always look things up in the Kindle version if you want that. Okay. What else did I want to show you? I want to show you another chart that you have, and I gave you the link to this. This is on your Optimizing Liver Detoxification Pathways section that's on this page here. And again, the link is all in there, in the environment pillar of the body freedom section. And this talks about it. It's a great presentation, 58 minutes long. So if you have a bunch like I do of SNPs in these detoxification areas, it's not a bad idea to watch that video, right? Watch that video. Download the slides though, because there's some specific stuff and I'll be sharing with people as we go through that if your test, let's go back to here. Okay. So if I go to mine and I see that I have some issues, okay, with glutathione, right? So I can go to that particular chart. Where am I? Yeah, I can go to the one that says glutathione at the top. Glutathione. And it tells me what these pathways are helping me to get rid of. And if I'm exposed to things like heavy metals, like at work and solvents, like Rich, you know, you have a lot of this stuff that you're exposed to at work, right? Then what are some of the things that you can be avoiding to make sure that you have good pathways to help it? Deficiencies in selenium, zinc, and B2, important. And here's some of the foods and nutrients that you can do to support those pathways. So there's one of these pages in this presentation for each of these sections in this. It's kind of interesting because I created that presentation long before this report was available, but I love how it coordinates. And so when we find, like for me, I have a bunch in this acetylation, right? So I can go back to here and look up the one that says acetylation, and it helps me get rid of all these things. Well, I'm not exposed to any of these things now, but wow, I was exposed to secondhand tobacco smoke my entire life growing up at home with two parents that smoked and all their brothers and sisters who came over every Sunday and smoked all in the house, right? So I was exposed to this, and that was probably why my health kind of fell apart later. But right now I'm not. I don't do any refined foods. I don't do any cigarettes. And I'm careful about eating good food and doing nutritional supplementation where needed. So these charts are invaluable. So if you just print out these six charts to keep alongside of your report, it's going to help you to go, okay, what do I do about these things, right? What do I do about these things? Okay. I think that's it. Yeah. So as we go through, I'll show you some of this other stuff. You guys have access to, also, I want to make sure you know, in the sweet spot on the bonuses page, sweet spot, the bonuses 2019 page, I've given you access to, sometimes this link doesn't work. There we go. I've given you access to a presentation I did, The Genetics of Blood Sugar Balancing. Okay. And I'm going to put the link to this page in that document. It was intended for an audience of practitioners, but you know, you'll get a lot out of it if you watch it, if you're interested and if you know you had blood sugar issues. But here's what I want to do. I'm going to put it in this document. Okay. Nutrigenomics. I'm going to put in, blood sugar. There you go. Okay. So just a really important kind of piece. If you have a lot of blood sugar issues, it explains, and the charts that I gave you on blood sugar are all going to show you some of these, and you can be looking them up if you go into your raw data or you go into that MTHFR support. Okay, so I don't want to overwhelm you too much. Take a breath. These are tools that you have that help you basically give you incentivize you to do the things you already know how to do, but to do them consistently, but also which of them are the most important given your genetics. Does that make sense? All right. Any questions before I go on? Like not questions about your own reports, but questions about in general. Does that give you a good high level overview? Yeah? Yeah. Okay, good. All right. I am going to stop the recording and then I'm going to go to our first person. Kathy, we did.
Can I quickly address Marion? Marion, if you're listening, I know you're on the call. I would like you to send me your genetic reports because the last email didn't work. And we'd like to open those up, but we need the copies of the files. So if you can send those to me via email, we can get them started.
Oops. Let's unmute you, Marion. There you go.
I was not able to do it. I just got frustrated, so I just stopped this morning.
Okay. Did you say you had, I thought yesterday you said you had the genetic genie ones. Is that right? Okay. Somebody said yesterday they had the genetic genie ones, but not the others. Oh, and Rich is here. Mark Rich. All right. All right. Well, hopefully you learn a lot here and then, you know, we can help you to get them, you know, whatever struggles you're having, somebody can try to help you to get that resolved.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So we've done Kathy. We did Dawn yesterday, Lou, and then Rich. Lou, you're up. Where's Lou?
I'm getting here. Do you see me now?
I do. There you are. Good.
Okay. All right.
All right. All right. So genetic genie, LWR. Oh, so you did the metabolic. You didn't do the genetic.
I had ancestry DNA.
So you couldn't do that one. Yeah, we'll do this one then.
So good. That was my problem.
Yeah.
But I did two.
Yeah, you did genetic genie as well. I'll open those as well. I'll start with those because they're easy to read and understand. And I'll show you how you can use your charts. Okay, good. All right. So similar to how we were looking at the other one, this is the genetic genie. The genetic genie, unfortunately, just does a few of them. It doesn't do as many. But we can see from this that you have the 1A2, and you can use the same chart here to look it up, the 1A2. So you have it all on one sheet, but you can also use the genetic genie. Whoops, where did it go? What happened? Let me look to see.
Well, that may be it right there. That's the explanation.
That's the explanation one, but that's the genetic D. All right, let me just find that page again. I had the other one open. They got all out of order. Yeah, so we have an interpretation for genetic genie. Sometimes I accidentally click the little X because it's so small. All right, let me find that one. It's easy to find. If we go here to, we don't need any more. If we go to the chart list, this genetic genie detoxification report. And I wanted to have that open. I had it open earlier, we were looking at it. All right, so if we look at your report, you've got the 1A2, the 2A6, and I'm just going to grab a piece of paper and just write it down so I can, 1A2, 2A6, 2C9 is red, 2D6. Okay, so you can go and find all of these. Oh, and And then the glutathione. GSTP red, and then the NAC. Okay. And you've got a bunch of yellows. All right, so you can either use these charts. Whoa, there we go. You can either use this chart, I'm gonna make that the very first one. Use this chart, or you can use this chart from the Genetic Genie interpretation, which has a little bit more detail, but you can see a nice summary on here of all the ones you have. So you have the 1A2, the 2A6, the 2C9, which is red, these are yellow, and then the 2D6. And you can just see across here and go, okay, what are the things I really need to be focusing on? For more detail, what I really like to do is look at these, because like 1A1, it tells you all the different things that it detoxifies and all the different things that are important. And again, it's related to estrogen metabolism, right? It's related to estrogen, the 1A2, detoxifying excess estrogen, right? So you want to make sure that you're avoiding all of those things, the hydrocarbons, the charbroiled meat, etc., to optimize your body's ability to handle the estrogen to reduce your risk of cancer, of breast cancer. The 2A6, which is down here, detoxifies nicotine and nitrosamine. So processed meats, right? The meats with nitrites in them, bacon, et cetera, important to avoid, right? Because you run the risk of the cancers again. And nicotine, whether it's secondhand, firsthand, or third hand even, third hand being in the carpeting and the, you know, the other fabrics of people who smoke, even if they don't smoke around you. Okay. And then
cigarette smoke, it always gives me headaches.
Yeah. So it's because your body, one's a red one, right? So that one is like, no, your body's saying no. No, this one's a red one, but your body's saying, no, this isn't good for you. I can't detoxify this girl. So let's go from there. And then the same thing with this 2C9, right? A lot of things, there's drugs and NSAIDs, right? A lot of people, they just take aspirin or ibuprofen or other things for headaches. And then they go, well, I feel worse. The headaches are not as bad as these symptoms. I work with people like that her whole life. Her mother would say, oh, you have a headache here, take this. And she goes, no, I'm going to take it. It makes me feel worse. Well, it turned out she had the genetics where she couldn't detoxify it. So you look at this and then you can look here, like in particular, the 2C9, let's really, really learn what are some of the exposures you want to be able to avoid with that SNP. Well, a lot of drugs. So may not apply to you now, but making sure that you're not on any of these drugs, right? And, you know, a lot of people just take ibuprofen and all these things, just like candy, right? I have a headache, I'll just take it. I have joint pain, I'll just take it. When in reality, if you have the genetics that don't handle it well, it can be very problematic, right?
Well, so, when I started developing arthritis, I started taking ibuprofen more than I ever did. And I started getting headaches a lot more than I had. So I went to the neurologist and he diagnosed it as analgesic rebound headaches and told me to stop taking ibuprofen and Tylenol and anything like that. So
now you know why.
Yeah. So I don't do that.
So you don't do that anymore. But you know, these are your friends, right? The berries and onion and garlic and turmeric and all these things, like my drink right now, which is loaded with all of those kinds of things, right? To really help support these pathways and support your body in handling these things. And you had a 2D6, which is another one related to drugs. And there's a bunch of them and you can look them up, you know, so look up any kind of drugs on here to make sure. I mean, I think everybody should kind of take charge. If you have this SNP, is to be able to just print out a list and keep it in like your, here's what to do for me if I'm ever incapacitated and I have to go to the hospital, right? Is here's my list of drugs. Don't let them give me.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like to keep you safe. Because, you know, a lot of things that happen in hospitals and people dying when they're trying to get treated, a lot of it could be reactions to the drugs they're giving them and the body just can't handle it because the detoxification pathways being on a suboptimal. Okay?
Do any of these SNPs relate to the cholesterol drugs, the statins?
You would have to look that up on this list. So beta blockers are there, antiarrhythmics, and this big old list, which I looked up earlier. So you can look up any of those drugs here. Now with the statins, you do have to be careful about CoQ10. And I'll look to see if there's, if we can see in your other report, some things related to that. Okay, so that was your genetic genie, and I forgot to turn on the starter, so you got an extra few minutes. Vitamin D, super important, right? Making sure that you're taking enough vitamin D, making sure you're testing your vitamin D to keep it at optimal levels. It's going to protect your brain, your gut, your everything, your immune system, so super important. Your COMT is what's called the warrior combo, and it's actually, even though it looks like you have SNPs there, and you do, the research is finding that combination tends to be the most balanced. So it's not one to worry about. It's when it's red that you really want to be concerned. And this is related to B12, the MTRR related to B12. The MTRR here. Even if you can't get this report, the genetic detoxification report, the book is not a bad thing to have to look up all the different SNPs that you have. Just gives you a little bit more information on it. And CBS related to silver. Do you have high homocysteine?
I have no idea.
Okay, write it down. This is something that you want to be testing for.
Okay.
Test your homocysteine. Okay. Given, you're one of the few that I've seen without any MTHFRs, which is good. But you have this is related to the B12. You have two of these, and then you have this CBS, which helps it. If I show you the picture, I had it open earlier. This picture, I had the big one of it though. There. Okay. This is a very overwhelming picture, but you're good here, down yes. here. But you've got a lot of blockage here. You're okay here, although you had a couple of yellows here, and you're blocked here. So you could get a buildup of this chemical called homocysteine, which is damaging to brain and blood vessels. All right. So you want to monitor that and keep it 8 or less.
Ideally, so if it's
6 and 8.
Damaging the blood vessels, would that have to do with your heart problems?
Yes, exactly.
So if I have a buildup in plaque in my arteries.
It can cause that.
Okay.
It can cause that. Now, the good news is most people get their homocysteine down within 3 months of starting supplementation of B6, folate, and B12. You probably don't need the folate part. Because, you know, just eat lots of greens. You don't even have a gene SNP there. Eat lots of greens, raw green leafy vegetables, you know, smoothies, juices, etc. That will provide enough folate. But the B12 and the B6, see the B6 right there, are probably the contributing factors if you do have a high homocysteine. If you have a history of the heart disease, elevated cholesterol, all that other stuff, then it's an issue and you really need to be addressing it. Okay.
Well, I told you the cardiologist wants me to go on the statin.
Yeah.
So I wanted a good reason to tell him not why I didn't want to go on the statin.
Depletes CoQ10, and we'll look to see if the other report tells you anything about that. All right, let me go back to this one. So those are the main things on here. So this, you've got a little bit of blockage in that in between. So you really need to be working on that. If he hasn't tested your homocysteine and he's talking to you about statins, you need a new doctor. Sorry. He's just not educated enough. And here's the nutrigenomics report.
If I did that lab report in November through you, would that have the homocysteine on that?
Did we do homocysteine on that one? Was it the comprehensive one? We did A1C.
There were two separate bonuses. And one of them include included, I think, the CRP. I don't know about the homocysteine.
I think it was CRP and A1C, but not homocysteine. It's $35 to do a homocysteine. It's not bad. You can get that done. If you go to runmylabs.com and just order it, you can get it done. But your doctor should be running it if he's talking to you about cardiac issues. I mean, he's not keeping up with the current literature, because most docs are running homocysteine now for people with any kind of elevated cholesterol problems.
Okay.
All right. But it's an important thing for you to know. And
you're on camera. Go on.
last time it was dogs. This time it's my husband walking through.
Yeah. So I'm looking here and I'm concerned with this result with the ApoE red 4-4. It's just not conducive to playing around with this. So diet wise, clean. Animal products, saturated fats, do not go well and do not digest well with this ApoE4-4, and puts you at higher risk of Alzheimer's and cardiac, right? So fasting, going on a nice fast could be a good thing for you to get this cleaned out, and then sticking with a sweet spot type diet consistently, very consistently. Sugar, making sure you're monitoring your sugars and keeping those sugars, you gotta keep that sugar in optimal range, or you're putting yourself at risk for Alzheimer's.
Right. Well, I got a new phone, so I can now get my
patch,
whatever that meter is.
The Freestyle Libre. Yes.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yes. And we're doing a metabolic reset next month. Just do it. Do it, commit to it, and do it for 30 days. Okay? Because this is super important. This is just not a little weight around the middle, a little brain fog. No, this is high risk. High risk. Okay? All right. Yeah, and I'm not into scare tactics, but I want to be real here. This is important.
Well, one of them also was at risk for Alzheimer's. I was reading that.
This one.
So. Oh, that's the one.
Okay. Yeah, big time. And that's a cardiac SNP as well. And you can read more about it. This is the true report. These we already went through on the other report. Clotting factors. Yeah. You've got some clotting factors. You have this gene that predisposes you to higher levels of cholesterol. So it's important. Have they done an advanced lipid panel on you?
I did one through you in November.
Okay.
But you didn't get a chance to look at it because the results didn't come in time for the lab thing.
Okay. So come to one of the calls and just say, hey, can you take a look at it?
Okay.
If it's in your charts, I can do that.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. That's an important one to look at. And that's how so there's specific nutrients in there based on that. I mean, CoQ10 for sure, but niacin, maybe zinc. There's a bunch of nutrients that based on the results of that can be protective for you and that you'd want to start right away.
Okay.
Okay. How high is your cholesterol?
I think it was 207 last time.
Okay.
Because so I had come down because the time before it may have been 237.
Yeah, I bet you can get it down further if you're dedicated, if you're really severe with the diet and lifestyle. So get that advanced lipid panel loaded up. Okay.
And it's there.
Okay. So we'll look at that on one of the calls. You can't look at it today. That one. GST. So yeah, glutathione is another important one for you. Liposomal glutathione, very protective. But go slow. Don't just go and say, let me take the teaspoon a day. Well, let me take 2 teaspoons a day. If 1 teaspoon's good, 2 teaspoons might be better because of some of that other genetic pathway blockages. And so go slowly. You may end up with, you never hear of detox reactions where you get muscle aches and headaches and joint pains and stuff. I don't want that to happen to you if you get too much too fast. So you want to get your body used to it. Yeah, those we talked about. you know, a minor in the PEMT, but given, you know, some of the stuff, I would say it doesn't hurt to do some sunflower lecithin. Add to your smoothies, use it in gravies, use it in nut milks. It's protective of the nerve sheets, but it's also protective cardiovascular wise.
Okay.
Okay. Have you done a blood spot fatty acid?
No, I have not.
It would be a good thing to do.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely a good thing to do. Because you have this genetic tendency to higher levels of arachidonic acid, which is inflammatory, right? So joint pains, arthritis, cardiac stuff. So I get the blood spot fatty acid test. These are some of the gut health ones. Make sure you take in daily probiotic foods with this FUT2. So whether you're taking the foods or taking like a bifidobacter supplementation, that would be an important one for you.
Okay.
Okay, so here's your heart health stuff. So this pond two relates to the effect of pesticide and herbicide exposure on your cardiac system. So you really need to be careful about avoiding pesticides and herbicides, organic, whether it's your skincare, your hair care, your home care, but also your food, all of those okay. areas, right? Because your body doesn't break down the pesticides as well as it should, and it can relate to heart health. And I think it describes it in here a little bit, and you can actually click on this link and it'll give you more details on it from the literature.
Oh, wow.
Okay. That's the thing I like about this report too. Let me see your CoQ10 piece. Here we go. What happened to your heart health one? I was on that one and I went to heart health. Here we go. I want to see your CoQ10 one. That one we looked at, that one we talked about. So fortunately, you don't have, if you were to go on statins, you're not genetically prone to have, you know, blockages in that CoQ10 pathway. Still, you know, you have to make a decision, obviously, but if you are going to do it, you'd want to make sure you take in the CoQ10 with it. And I'd get an advanced lipid panel too to watch. Okay, immune. Avoid gluten, 100%, not 90%, not 99%, but 100%, because there's genetics here. And that's going to create inflammation, which could affect your cardiac system, which could affect your joints, which could affect all of that.
But when I took the gluten test, it didn't show up that I had celiac, so.
Right. Well, you don't have celiac, but you do have gluten sensitivity. Right. Yeah. No, you don't have genes for celiac, but you do have genes for gluten sensitivity. And if you take that test and you're not on gluten, it's not going to come out. Like if you take the gluten antibody test, it's not going to. Did you do the genetic?
I think I did it before I would cut out all gluten.
Before you cut it out? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because my daughter did it too, and neither of us showed up for gluten sensitivity. Well, yeah. Celiac.
But you have the genetics for it. So it just, you don't want, not celiac for sure. But for gluten sensitivity. So given that, you know, you have these elevations in cholesterol, you have some arthritis, I just think it's a good idea to stay away from it. Okay. Why play with fire? Do you have a tendency to inhalant allergies like grass, pollens?
Well, cut grass breaks me out. I'm in South Carolina and it's pollen city right now. So yeah, I've been sniffling more than usual.
I would look at quercetin as a supplementation for that to help. Vitamin C and quercetin.
And the gas fumes have always bothered me too, from, you know,
yeah, because you're not breaking
a truck or a bus or something.
Right, you're not breaking them down. So, you know, I think supporting that, I think the glutathione supplementation will help support that. I think that vitamin C, quercetin, and exposures, avoiding other exposures as well that tax those pathways. Like if you ever eat charbroiled meat or things like that, which tax the same pathways. Because you've got a lot of inflammatory SNPs. So you're going to be more prone, you know, making sure that you, as a regular basis, you're including things like ginger and turmeric and things like that. Okay. Let's see if there's anything else in here. The methylation we already went through. Anything that I would eat a lot of arugula for the nitric oxide to help support blood pressure.
I've started eating a lot of arugula because I was cutting out the spinach because of the oxalates.
The oxalates, right.
And arugula doesn't have any oxalates in it.
Doesn't have any. It's one of the few.
So I've now gone to arugula topped with alfalfa sprouts or broccoli sprouts. Yay. And
you got that.
Yeah. And then I had sauerkraut on top of that with a little hummus on the side.
Yeah, and you do have the oxalate gene, the genes that predispose you to oxalate sensitivity. Mm-hmm. Right. So it is important to just keep it to a minimum. It doesn't mean avoid them completely, but for a little while you may, and then you can add them. But, you know, spinach every day, right? When you have an oxalate gene, not a good choice. So.
That's but it good. Was so healthy in all my smoothies.
Of course. That's what most people do because it's so easy to get. And then they find out that they're not the one, that it's not the best thing for them, right? I'm just thinking niacin might be a good thing, like NAD. But without seeing that advanced lipid panel, I can't say for sure. But Seeking Health has this I think it's a combination of NAD and CoQ10. And it's a really nice mitochondrial support. It's that niacin, and that may help with the cholesterol as well. Oxalates, sex hormone binding globulin. I'm just looking to see if there's any other reds here that we should address. Don't get vaccinated. Certain genes predispose to vaccine adverse effects from vaccines, and you've got a bunch of them.
Oh, so what kind of adverse effects?
It could be anything. We don't know, right? But there's certain people who have adverse effects from them and certain people who don't. And your genes have been associated with that. Vitamin A is super important for you to be supplementing, especially if you do have any kind of inhalant allergies. Vitamin A and D are super important for you, especially right now with all this immune stuff and coronavirus scare. I think that A and D are good things for you to be on a regular basis. And you can test them. You can test A and D. And just see and keep monitoring your levels based on how they respond in your blood.
Well, about 6 years ago, my vitamin D was 15.
Oh, wow, wow, wow.
Yeah. And my daughter's, when she got hers tested, was 8.75 or something.
It's the genetics, right?
Yeah.
So you've got to just
so we do take vitamin D.
But go and retest it. Retest hers and retest yours. You don't know if hers went from 8 to 22. Great, but that's not very good, right? You want to make sure that you get on the right level to get it up in that 70 to 100 range.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So test it again. I recommend testing vitamin D. If you get a low number, testing it every 3 months until you get it up.
I think mine was around 30 the last in November because it had been up to 50 and then it had come back down again right on the edge.
You want to up it? Whatever you were taking that got it to 50, take a little bit more than that. I can't give exact amounts for vitamin D because it's so variable for people, right? I've had two people.
And I'm sure seasonal too, because if you're out in the sun in the summertime, you're going to have more vitamin D.
Totally. But then if you get really tan in the summer, then you absorb less. So going into the fall where you may not be exposed as much, but you still have the melanin in your skin, you're going to absorb less because it's dark, you're darker. So there's so many variations that I just recommend at least that first year of testing, test 4 times a year, you know, make sure you test in each season and make sure you adjust the amount you're taking so you can get yourself in that 70 to 100 range.
Okay. And what form of vitamin D would you suggest?
I like liquids. I would make sure you're taking some K2 with it. Thorn has a vitamin D3 K2, but the problem with that is you don't need that much K if you need a lot of D. So I usually recommend that you get one combination or just the K2 alone, and then you have the D as well, because it helps the absorption of it.
So is this thorn, is this a liquid one?
Thorn has a liquid one. Yep. And then others that have the liquid ones, Premier Research Labs, Thorn has a plain K2, Seeking Health has one, Biotics has one. There's a number of good companies. Get the ones, I prefer the ones in olive oil versus soybean oil. I just think it's a healthier version. And usually they're pretty concentrated. Like some of them, one drop is 2,000. Some of them it's less concentrated. And I always think if one drop is 2,000, it means there's very little of that olive oil or whatever carrier. Whereas if one drop is, or it takes five drops to be 2,000, you're just getting more extra oil. Like, why bother?
Okay.
Makes sense? If you go into the site in the Body Freedom section, under nutrition, there's a page on vitamins and minerals, and there's a whole lecture on vitamin D and how to calculate.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Awesome. Thank you. I wish we had more time. I'm like really struggling to do these in the amount of time I have.
You need to sign off and sign somebody else on.
Thank you.
If you're finished with me.
I'm finished with you, and I'm going to go to Rich now.
Right. I'm up.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, you got a really good, we had a good call with Janet last year on your genetics. So what I want to do with you is I don't want to spend time on things you already know, because you've had it done before. And this is true of anybody who's had it done before, is like, what is it that you want me to focus most on? Is there a specific area? For you, I think the toxicity ones, the detox pathways are critical.
That's correct, right.
Right, okay. So let me go into your genetics folder.
Wait, do the recording first.
Thank you. She reminded me, and I see I'm just so into what I do. Stop.